I don't understand it, how you do that. You know, if you take your hymnal and you open it up to any page, you find all those notes. I just, for the life of me, can't figure out how you get all of that in your head, get both hands to do it, and then coordinate with another person, and you're both doing this. Thank God for music and the gifts that he gives people to use it for his glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is going to be our text for today, and we're going to read that final chapter of 1 Thessalonians in its completion. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, what do we have there? Just 28 verses. First Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, we need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. You are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace amongst yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that has called you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you again today, Lord, for the opportunity to break into your word. Lord, we recognize it as being living. We recognize the power of it to the dividing asunder of body and soul, of meat, of bone and marrow. We recognize, Lord, that it is your word that is truth. And we recognize, Lord, that it comes directly from you. And so I would today again, Lord, that you would hide your servant behind the cross. For my lips are fallible, but Lord, yours are not. Speak to our hearts today. Bring conviction. Bring edification, bring correction if necessary, Lord, but align us with your thinking, not our own, that we, Lord, might be strengthened in our walk with you, but most importantly, Lord, that you would be glorified in the lives that we live. We pray these things in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. So I've had the opportunity now on Thursday of this week and then 2 weeks prior to preach at the lodge. It's something I really enjoy doing. I've got a great bunch of people there, usually somewhere in the 12, 15 gather together in the dining hall. They keep the lodge very warm. I don't wear a jacket when I go there. And usually by the time I'm done preaching, I got a river of life flowing out of me in the form of sweat down my back. But I really enjoy going there. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons I enjoy going there is the people at the lodge. Edna is one of them there. They come with a frame of mind to praise the Lord in singing. They have to put up with me leading them, singing, and their voices are weak, but it's one of the most beautiful things, really, to hear them sing. And they come expecting to hear from God through His Word, and I don't hold back. I give them everything I think they should have, and so I've been for the last two times there. We've been talking about Thanksgiving, and we're talking about it in this sense. When I first started 2 weeks ago, is that when we gather together with our families and we sit around the table and we have a big meal, usually it's a meal big enough that if we were eating it anywhere else in the world, we would be ashamed at how much food we're eating, quite frankly. But we do that, and we enjoy getting together with our families and everything. But I shared with them 2 weeks ago how that typically that Thanksgiving meal is consumed in about, 10 minutes? 15? And there are hours, if not days, of preparation that went into it, right? And so if we're going to prepare like that to eat a meal, should we not be preparing our hearts with this ethic of giving thanks as is presented to us in the Bible? And perhaps if we would spend time in preparation, understanding God's thoughts on giving thanks, perhaps we would be deeper in our giving thanks. Perhaps we would be less considering of things that we have and more considering of the God who has granted them to us. This has been on my heart for a long time. That we have taken Thanksgiving and made it about us, and we have forgotten the author, the creator, the gift giver. I did a quick search. This is out of tonight's message, by the way. this little bit I'm sharing with you now. In the King James Version, I went through my concordance and I looked up versions of the thought of giving thanks, of thanks, and just any form of thanks like that. And then I looked up thankful. Thankful shows up in the King James Version a total of 4 times in all of Scripture. Giving thanks and aspects of giving thanks, 135. The disparity there between being thankful and giving thanks. And one of the things I've recognized in my own life is I've been searching. I'm going to make sure to turn that over so I don't start preaching this tonight's message. But one of the things I've been dealing with in my own life as I've been really preparing my heart about giving thanks is that if I don't know the Lord at all, I'm still thankful for things. I could give a person on the street who has no thought of God in their heart and they need financial help, I can give them $1,000. And they would be thankful for that $1,000. Whether they saw me again, whether they knew who I was, or perhaps I did it anonymously, they would still be thankful for it, but they have no ability to give thanks if they don't know from whom it has come. And the reality is, even within in Christendom, we sometimes gather together, and I'm not faulting this, I'm just trying to fine-tune our minds. And sometimes when we head into Thanksgiving, we as Christians will gather together and say this, what are you thankful for? And I don't think it's the right verbiage. I don't think it's right. I think, yes, you should have a heart of gratitude. Yes, you should be thankful. But that is only me. You see, because to give thanks takes the emphasis off of me as the receiver of the gift and puts it upon the one that should receive thanks. You see what I'm saying? And then when we open up our concordance and you start looking up all these verses, you know, certain ones come to mind, and we read one in this passage, and you know the one, don't you? I mean, it's really plain and it's really simple and it's right there in black and white when he says in verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In some things give thanks would be a horrible interpretation. In everything give thanks. And if I were to entitle this message, this might be the title. What? No whipped cream for my pumpkin pie. That might be the title. Because the reality is, as Americans, we live in a standard of living that is far and above most people around the world. And even when we compare our standard of living to the people who brought us this origin of a holiday, Thanksgiving, our lifestyle is so much beyond what theirs was, and we are so full of ourselves that we oftentimes don't give thanks, or worse yet, don't acknowledge, or worse yet, murmur and complain about the littlest of things. Do you know, historically, the pilgrims, when they were giving thanks, there are days recorded historically that they had literally 5 dried kernels of corn to eat apiece. And so what I want to do today is, I've been working through these things, and I haven't shared them all with you because, well, it's almost 12 o'clock. But what I want to do today is, I want to deal now with this idea that Paul brings to the church in 1 Thessalonians, that in everything give thanks. And I want us to be honest and look at ourselves and honestly admit, we don't. We don't. And yet Paul says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And this message to 1 Thessalonians was not just to the church of Thessalonica. It's written in what we read. I want this preached to every believer everywhere. So today, is this message for you? This message is for you. Is it for me? It is for me. Okay? And so what I want to do is, I want to look at this and I want to say, well, how might I come to giving thanks to God for every situation, for everything I find myself in? Because the context of 1 Thessalonians is preparing for the return of Christ. That's how he opens it. That's how he ends it. And if you go back, and I encourage you to go back and read it, and read between the lines, and read things like, he says in verse 14, "I exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly." What does that infer? There's going to be unruly people. He says, "Comfort the feeble-minded." What does that tell you? There are going to be people who are feeble-minded. He says, "To support the weak." What does that tell you? There are going to be people who are weak. He says, "Be patient towards all men." Why? Because we're going to have to be patient with one another. And then he goes into the next verse, and this is the most profound one really for me, considering the context. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men." As we approach the day of Christ's return, we are told in Scripture it is going to be as it was in the days of Noah. What was it like in the days of Noah? The evil thoughts of men's hearts was continual. And as you look around the setting in which you find yourself, it's not idyllic. It's not everything's coming up roses. It's not as if there isn't a storm. It's not as if there isn't a war going on. It's not as if there isn't division and angst and anger and calamity within our culture in which we live. Some of you are living it in your own homes. And so this fallen world in which we live and the cares and the concerns of the world can bombard us to the point, and we look at that and we say, oh, well, it must be different for me. Surely God does not expect me to give thanks for everything. And yet, He does. So the question is, how can I get into that frame of mind where I, too, can give thanks even if there's no whipped cream for my pumpkin pie? You see? And now that sounds facetious, but it's really not. Sometimes the things that confront us, the things that cause us not to give thanks, are really quite that minimal. And I tell you that because I know that. I tell you that because it happens in my life. I tell you that because there are people who are not here in church today because they're going through something difficult. I don't want to sound heartless, but who isn't? Who isn't? And what the church is meant to be is a bunch of God's people getting together and edifying, strengthening one another. And as long as we continue to look at, hey, I don't have any whipped cream on my pumpkin pie, therefore I'm not going to go to church, I'm not going to worship God in spirit and truth, I'm not going to be an edifying member in the body of Christ, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to sulk and I'm going to consider my own things, I'm telling you, you are not going to give thanks for God for those things, are you? So something has to change. And I believe the main thing that has to change in our mindset is our attitude about God. The main thing in our mindset is what we think about God. The main thing in our attitude has to change is, who is God? And the only way we're going to know who God is by looking into His Word and believing by faith what He has proclaimed Himself to be. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I picked one. The Apostle Paul is masterful under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God using his ability to write these things, and he does it in many of his epistles. But Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. I'll give you a verse of emphasis when we get through it. But this is the preamble to the church at Ephesus. And here we read these words. This is the word of the Lord. Paul is the penman, but this is God's word, okay? He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has shown us according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensations of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. What an amazing passage of Scripture. The amazing aspect of this passage of Scripture is it all about what Christ has done. There's nothing in there that says anything that I have done. It is all according to God's will and for his purpose and for his glory in your life. If you're a born-again Christian today, you have nothing to boast in save Jesus Christ and the cross. And what Paul is making known here to the church is that this is true for every born-again Christian. Everyone around the world, no matter how hard or how easy your life is, this is true of you. And what I want to draw your attention to is verse 11. Because in verse 11 he says, in whom also we, any believer, have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. In a word, God is sovereign. Do you believe that? That God is sovereign, that he is in control of all things, that nothing takes him by surprise, that everything that God does is according to his will, either acted will or allowed will or however we want to look at that, but the reality is that God is in control. Do you believe that? Even in the storms of life. Even when things are happening that I don't understand. Even when things are happening that I don't like. Even when things are happening that I would never do if I were God. I'm telling you, the message is over and over, it's the same thing. If you want to just say one thing, it's can we just let God be God? Colossians chapter 1, again, you can spend some time on this and look through the word at your own leisure, but at Colossians chapter 1, another great opening in this chapter as well, but I just want to look at one verse just to cement what Paul said in Ephesians. This is Colossians 1 verse 16, for by him, speaking of Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Do you believe that? Well, if you believe that, then you would turn to Romans chapter 8. And we find then that as we continue to go through this, if our focus would not be on whether these things that are happening are to our liking or not to our liking or to our level of living or not to our level of living, but that God is sovereign and he's directed all of these things, then we turn to Romans chapter 8 and we hit these verses, which quite frankly, we struggle with this too, and we're careful with them and how we deliver them. But Romans 8, 28 and 29, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed unto the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Now, when you look at that, I want you to tie that then to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Notice what Paul says in Romans 8. He says he foreknew you, he predestined you, and he predestined you for this purpose, to be conformed unto the image of his Son, correct? And then if you go to back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, we read this, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying the same thing. He's saying the same thing. I want all of you, every aspect of you, to be sanctified, set aside, and conformed unto the image of Jesus Christ. Now, you got to stop and ask yourself these questions. If God is in control, and if everything works together for good, then the good that everything is working together for is framing me, forming me, conforming me to the image of his dear Son. Then no matter what I'm going through, God is at work in that, bringing about his glory as he forms me more and more into the image of his Son, your Savior, who's coming for you. What a wonderful thing.
What a wonderful thing. And I can understand why Joseph would say what he said to his brothers. You remember at the close of Genesis, he says, what you have meant for evil, what man means for evil, God is meant for good. What? Are you going to thank God to be thrown in a pit? No, not for the pit, but that God is at work in the pit. Are you going to be thankful that that you're sold into slavery? Not for being sold into slavery, but to know that God is at work while you're a slave. And no matter where you're at, no matter what situation, whether wealthy or poor, whether healthy or sick, you should be praising and giving him thanks. Can we? Can we in everything give him thanks? We can. If our mind is set upon the one who is sovereign and working everything in my life to conform me to the image of Jesus, I can't think of a loftier goal than to allow God to transform you into the likeness of Jesus. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's allow God to do that. And let's allow God to be God and give him thanks. Our gracious Heavenly Father, your working is not ours. Your ways, your thoughts are higher and different than ours. And there are times, and I don't make light of this, but there are times when we cannot understand what it is you're doing. There are times that we cannot understand why this suffering, why these issues. But just as my brother Bill Katz said the other day, it's hard to watch the suffering of the Israelite people, but all the while knowing that you are in control. That is complex in my mind. And so, Lord, I just simply have to surrender it, that you know what you're doing and that you are God and I'm not. And be willing to accept and to find out and to seek you as to what is it, Lord, that you are doing in my life through these things that is conforming me more and more into the image of your dear Son. To be fully sanctified, body, soul, spirit, to trust in you. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done, the work that you're continuing, and the work that you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ. May you be glorified amongst your people, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.